It's amazing in life that it's so easy to get distracted, so easy to get out of focus, to get overwhelmed with the circumstances of this world. We look at the challenges that we face, and we wonder, is there anybody out there? Is God really there? Is God in control? Sometimes I think we don't pray, we don't spend time in prayer because we do forget that God is in control, that God is sovereign, that God is with us. You know, as we pray this morning and as we spend time in prayer, one of the first things we need to do is remember who God is, what he has done, what he has accomplished. His love, his grace, his mercy, his almighty sovereignty over the entire universe and our lives. That God is in control. And when we wonder if truly if God has things in his hand, let us remember the words of Isaiah in Isaiah chapter 40, verse 12. He said, "Who has measured the waters in the hollow of his hand and marked off the heavens with a span and closed the dust of the earth in a measure and weighed the mountains in scales and the hills in a balance?" In verse 17, "All the nations are as nothing before him. They're accounted by him as less than nothing in emptiness." Verse 21, "Do you not know? Have you not heard? Has it not been told you from the beginning? Have you not understood from the foundations of the earth? It is he who sits above the circle of the earth, and its inhabitants are like grasshoppers, who stretches out the heavens like a curtain and spreads them like a tent to dwell in, who brings princes to nothing and makes the rulers of the earth as emptiness. Have you not known? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He does not faint or grow weary. His understanding is unsearchable." That right now that God is on his throne. As scripture says that he sends the rains to the earth, that he makes the snow to fall, that he holds the oceans in the palm of his hand, that he governs the nations by the will of his sovereign power. That his glory is beyond comprehension. Ezekiel chapter 1. Ezekiel chapter 1 and verse 22. Ezekiel is writing about a vision that he sees of God exalted. He writes about what he sees, and as you read through it, you realize that Ezekiel is just trying to express with words the inexpressible. By using words such as like and looked like and was as, because he failed at finding words that adequately describe the majesty and the glory of who God is. And as he saw the angelic beings, he said in verse 22, "Over the heads of the living creatures there was the likeness of an expanse, shining like awe-inspiring crystal, spread out above their heads, and under the expanse their wings were stretched out straight one toward another. And each creature had two wings covering its body. And when they went, I heard the sound of their wings like the sound of many waters, like the sound of the Almighty, a sound of tumult, like the sound of an army. When they stood still, they let down their wings, and there came a voice from above the expanse over their heads. When they stood still, they let down their wings. And above the expanse over their heads, there was the likeness of a throne, in appearance like sapphire. And seated above the likeness of a throne was a likeness with a human appearance. And upward from that had the appearance of his waist. I saw as it were gleaming metal, like the appearance of fire enclosed all around. And downward from what had the appearance of his waist, I saw as it were the appearance of fire, and there was brightness around him. Like the appearance of the bow that is in the cloud on the day of rain, so was the appearance of the brightness all around. Such was the appearance of the likeness of the glory of the Lord." Such was the likeness. Such was the likeness of the glory of God that when Ezekiel saw God, that he couldn't describe him. He couldn't express in words the majesty that he saw. And I think that so many times in our life and as we walk this world in our lives, that we forget who God is. And that as we come in prayer to him, we come into the presence of an almighty God who lives in unapproachable light that we cannot even describe, that words fail to express. The God who holds the universe in his hands. I'm going to tell you how this is going to work. As we go to the Lord in prayer, we're going to spend a lot of time in prayer this morning. Next 40, 50 minutes. We're going to spend time focusing and remembering on who God is, reading through Scripture and focusing our prayers according to his word. As we pray, feel free to kneel at your seat. Feel free to pray with your head bowed where you're at. Feel free to come up here to the steps anytime during the service and pray, to share your heart open before God. But right now, let us all bow our heads, and in the quietness of the moment, let us remember who God is. Holy, holy, holy. Righteous. Good. Just. And bow our hearts and our knees in the presence of the Almighty. Let us pray. And pray in the silence of your heart, at the steps, at your chair, wherever. But let us pray before the God Almighty. I don't know what you've been facing this week in life, the challenges that seem so insurmountable. Right now, would you not focus your heart remembering that God is in control, that God reigns, that he's on his throne. He holds the waters of the earth in his hand. He holds the very existence of the universe together by his very nature and being. Don't worry. Cast your worries at his feet. Cast your fears at his feet. Feel free to slip out of your seat, come kneel at the stairs. Feel free to kneel at your seat. This is just time with the Father. Even though God is the high, mighty, and exalted one, he is the God, the same God, who said, I will never leave you nor forsake you, that walks with us through life, that knows us even better than we know ourselves. The psalmist wrote in Psalm 139, O Lord, you have searched me and known me. You know when I sit down and when I rise up, you discern my thoughts from afar. God is not removed. God is not distant. God is with us. Verse 3, you search out my path and my lying down and are acquainted with all my ways. Even before a word is on my tongue, behold, O Lord, you know it altogether. You hem me in behind and before and lay your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high. I cannot attain it. Where shall I go from your spirit? Where shall I flee from your presence? If I ascend to heaven, you are there. If I make my bed in Sheol, you are there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost part of the sea, even there your hand shall lead me and your right hand shall hold me. If I say, surely the darkness shall cover me and the light about me be night, even the darkness is not dark to you. The night is bright as day, for darkness is as light with you. For you formed me. You formed my inward parts. You knitted me together in my mother's womb. I praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Wonderful are your works. My soul knows it well. My frame was not hidden from you when I made it in secret, intricately woven in the depths of the earth. Your eyes saw my unformed substance. In your book were written, every one of them, the days that were formed for me, when as yet there was none of them. How precious to me are your thoughts, O God. How vast is the sum of them. If I would count them, they are more than the sand. I awake, and I am still with you. How great that the God of heaven, that the sum of his thoughts for you this morning, right now, are so great, so deep, that they can't be counted, because he so loves his people. And whether you feel lonely or out of place, know this, that the God of heaven, the thoughts that he thinks towards you are unceasing. That he knows your thoughts and your words before you speak them. So great is the love of the Father. Does our heart thirst for God? Do we yearn for his presence like he yearns for us? The psalmist wrote again in Psalm 63, "Oh God, you are my God. Earnestly I seek you. My flesh faints for you, as in a dry and weary land where there is no water." And make no mistake, this world is a dry and weary land that dries us out, that wears us out. But the psalmist recognized that the thirst of the soul can be satisfied in God and his presence. Because he continues in verse 3 and says, "Because your steadfast love is better than life, my lips will praise you. So I will bless you as long as I live. In your name will I lift my hands. My soul will be satisfied as with fat and rich food. And my mouth will praise you with joyful lips." He recognized that as food nourishes the body, the only nourishment and satisfaction for our spirits, for our hearts, is in the presence of God. Why don't you pray right now? Say, "God, give me a desire. Give me an earnest thirst for your presence." And maybe even it's part confession for God, forgive me for trying to find satisfaction and presence in the world around us instead of finding satisfaction in you, satisfaction in accomplishments, in other relationships. Well, listen to me very clearly. The only satisfaction, there is a void in our heart that can only be filled by the Almighty God. Maybe on your knees, on the steps, at your seat, with your head bowed, to hold up your hands and say, God, help me to thirst for you. The only satisfaction for our hearts and for our souls is found in Jesus. That's the only place. The psalmist continues and said, my soul clings to you. Your right hand upholds me. He didn't just enter the presence of the Lord when it was convenient, but he literally said, my soul clings to you. Clings to the presence of the Father. Because that was the place of joy, of peace, and rest. You know that also in life we do face difficulties. We face challenges. We face heartbreaks and heartaches, disappointments, tragedy. In Psalm 56, the psalmist says this, you have kept count of my tossings. As I've been tossed about in life and been tossed about in hurts and pains, God, you've kept count of them. You know when I've been tossed about. And the psalmist continues and said, you've kept count of my tossings. You put my tears in your bottle. Every tear that falls, every tossing about, God sees. God knows every tear. God knows every hurt. You have kept count of my tossings, put my tears in your bottle. Are they not in your book? Then my enemies will turn back in the day when I call. But in all of this, God, he knows this. The psalmist says this. This I know, that God is for me. In God whose word I praise. In the Lord whose word I praise. In God I trust. I shall not be afraid. What can man do to me? As we are tossed about and as we face the difficulties, God is for us. In God we trust. I do not know what the pains and the hurts, the disappointments, the things that have tossed you about in life, but would you right now just put them at the Lord's feet, knowing that he has kept record, he knows the hurt that you've undergone. The pains that you are facing. Can you lay them down and say, like the psalmist did, even though the tears fall, in God I will trust. I don't always understand it, God, but help me to trust you. God doesn't want our perfection, our self-righteous facades. He wants our brokenness. He knows that we are frail. He knows that we hurt. He knows that we struggle in life. Give it over to the Father. Stop bearing a burden that was not yours to be borne. As Jesus himself said, take my yoke upon you. Cast your cares upon the Lord. I want you to think in your moment, in your head for the moment, think of someone who you know who is going through a difficult time. They're facing a hardship, a challenge, just trials of life. Stop. Lift them up in prayer on behalf of them. Intercede for them on behalf to the throne of the Father. Pray that God would give them strength and grace. And as we continue to pray, feel free. Turn to the person next to you. Pray with them. Maybe you want to pray with them and lay your hurts down together. Maybe you want to pray for one another. Pray with one another. Uphold one another. In groups of two or three. If you know someone who's hurting and you need to get up out of your seat and walk over to them and just lay a hand on their shoulder and say, I am praying for you. Feel free. Let's continue in prayer. Pray with one another. Whether in twos or threes or by yourself, continue to yield up the burdens of life. For we are so often weighed down because we don't give the burdens over. Scripture tells us to bear one another's burdens. Do we bear one another's burdens in prayer, in love? Is this a church where people can come and bring their brokenness and their burdens and know that they can be carried and they can be loved? May it be. Oh God, we come just as we are. Not with any offering that we can bring, because we know, Lord, that we are not worthy. And yet you, the God of heaven, you didn't want our worthiness, you wanted our brokenness. So Lord, help us to come just as we are to the throne of grace. And in Jesus' name.
Just as I am.
Psalmist writes in Psalm 51, talking about brokenness, talking about confession. One of the things that is a part of prayer is recognizing our need for God. That we need Him. That we are a broken people without Him. That we do wrestle and struggle with sin. And one of the problems that we face in the Christian life and in our church today is that we do not see sin as it is before God. And that even the smallest sin is a travesty, a universal travesty against the eternal holiness of who God is. And that right now, that as we as a church, in the American church, in our church at Heritage, I think that at times that we become comfortable with our sins. Instead of yielding to God and confessing our need for His grace. Psalm 51, the psalmist writes, "Have mercy on me, O God, according to your steadfast love. According to your abundant mercy, blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. For I know my transgressions and my sin is ever before me. Against you, you only have I sinned and done what is evil in your sight. So that you may be justified in your words and blameless in your judgment. Behold, I was brought forth in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. Behold, you delight in truth in the inward being. You teach me wisdom in the secret heart. Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Let me hear joy and gladness. Let the bones that you have broken rejoice. Hide your face from my sins. Blot out all my iniquities. Create in me a clean heart, O God. Renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from your presence. Take not your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation. Uphold me with a willing spirit. Then I will teach transgressors your ways, and sinners will return to you. Deliver me from blood guiltiness, O God. O God of my salvation. And my tongue will sing aloud of your righteousness. O Lord, open my lips, and my mouth will declare your praise. For you will not delight in sacrifice, or I would give it. You will not be pleased with burnt offering. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit. A broken and contrite heart, O God, you will not despise. Do good design in your good pleasure. Build up the walls of Jerusalem. Then you will delight in right sacrifices and burnt offerings and whole burnt offerings. Then bulls will be offered on your altar." The psalmist writes, he recognizes his need for God, saying, "God, have mercy on me. Have mercy on me because I have sinned." Jesus talked about the man who went to the temple and beat his breast, saying, "God, forgive me, a sinner." It is the broken heart that God desires, not a facade of church Christian perfection. The common to say, "God, I struggle with sin. I wrestle with sin." And that this past week, maybe even this morning on your way to church or before you came to church, "I have sinned." The measure of the usefulness of this church is not going to be in its brokenness or in its programs, but in its brokenness, in its availability to be used by God, in our individual hearts and in our individual lives. The psalmist writes, "Restore to me the joy of your salvation," because sin is a barrier that keeps us from really being able to enjoy and fellowship with the God of heaven. Do we regularly confess before God, or are we comfortable with certain sins because it's not as bad as that, or it's not as bad as this, or it's not as bad as that person? When all sin grieves the heart of God and transgresses His holiness. See, the good news is this, though. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Such is the grace of God. Such is the great love of God. Don't fear an anvil of judgment when you come to the Lord in confession. But come with humility and brokenness, but also expectation, knowing that he forgives us and that he loved us while we were yet sinners, Romans 5:8. But to come to the Lord confessing, God, forgive me for living for me instead of living for you. Let us bow our heads right now, all of us corporately, to bow our heads in the silence of the moment, to lay down our sins, to let go of them, to not hold on to them. You want to come up to the steps? Come up to the steps. Just to kneel at your chair, kneel at your chair. You have freedom. Just confess. Stop holding on to the sins that we so hold tightly to our lives. Whether it be porn or gossip or any form of lust, pride, self-sufficiency, anger, whatever sin it may be, let go of it. Don't let its chains hold you anymore. Confess. Every single one of us in here have sin. Every single one of us are imperfect. God knows what's in our heart. He knows what we did this past week. He knows what we are going to do. Yet God still loves us. Maybe you cry out and say, God, have mercy on me. Have mercy. Sin will keep you from enjoying the fruits and the fullness of the victorious Christian life. Don't hold on to something that destroys. Don't hold on to that pride. God knows your frailty. Confession is simply you acknowledging it. Maybe it's even a confession of not direct intentional sin, but just simply, God, I'm not the husband I need to be. I've been so distracted by life. Maybe you're not the wife or the friend. Or confession, Lord, that we have been so caught up in this world, in its riches and in its comforts, that I have neglected to follow you with my whole heart. Restore to me the joy of your salvation, cries the psalmist. For the sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken, uncontrite heart, O God, you will not despise. At the same time, you need to remember this. That when we confess, it is past. We need to remember that Romans chapter 8, verse 1 says, there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. And maybe right now, you just need to let go of the past. Have you sinned? Have you made a mistake? The answer is yes. Let it go. It's under the blood of Christ. There is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. If God be for us, who can be against us? Who can bring an accusation against the people of God? Oh God, we pray, Lord, right now that you would break our hearts. Help us not to live behind the mask, Lord, of contrived perfection, so that people think we are better than who we are. But rather, Lord, may we be openly and acknowledge, Lord, that I am a broken person. That it is only by the grace of God that we stand here and nothing we can do of ourselves. And Lord, help us to let go of the bondage of the past. Move forward with our eyes fixed upon Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith. And we confess our hearts as a church to you. And in Christ's name we pray. Amen.
For the sin in our lives.
confess as a church, Lord, that we have laughed, even in our nation, at things, Lord, that grieve your heart. Lord, that we have treated things, Lord, that are unholy as those things that are commonplace. Lord, that we have devalued your holiness. By not dealing with sin in our midst and in our lives. By growing comfortable. By not doing what you have called us to do, to be a light and a radiance of who Jesus is. And Lord, the many people who are lost and dying and going to hell, when they see many places of the church in our nation, they see parlor gags and tricks, but not an authentic faith. Lord, we confess where we have gotten distracted even as a church. And Lord, help us not but to in unity march forward, in unity keep our eyes on Christ, and in unity show an authentic faith that is built upon Jesus Christ alone. And Lord, help us to live for the great calling to which you've called us. And in Jesus' name, amen. Psalm 98. The psalmist says, "Oh, sing to the Lord a new song, for he has done marvelous things. His right hand and his holy arm have worked salvation for him. The Lord has made known his salvation. He has revealed his righteousness in the sight of the nations. He has remembered his steadfast love and faithfulness to the house of Israel. All the ends of the earth have seen the salvation of God." The psalmist realized that the salvation and the glory of God was not meant for us to hold underneath a bushel. But the salvation, the hope that we proclaim, was to be a city on a hill, a candle on a lampstand in a dark room, proclaiming the glory of God. But oftentimes when we get distracted by the menial things in life or by the temporal things in life, we douse that flame or we vastly reduce it so that when people see our lives, they do not see a spark and radiance of hope. As a church, are we going to continue to bear the glory of God to the uttermost parts of the world like God has commanded us? When Jesus, before he went into heaven, said, you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in Judea, in Samaria, to the uttermost parts of the earth. You're going to be my witnesses, radiating my glory, radiating who I am, radiating an authentic faith that is broken but is dependent upon what Jesus did on the cross. Heritage Baptist Church, we must be that church. We need to pray for God's vision and God's wisdom and God's direction to light a fire in our souls for our community, for the world, because it grows cold so quickly if the flame is not continually stoked. Let us take a few moments and go to the Lord in prayer again, but this time, let us pray with great vision and expectation. God, bless us so that we can be a blessing to others. Let us be a lighthouse. Would the hurting of Lynchburg give up their spiritual dead so that they might come here, hear the gospel, and find spiritual life? Let us pray. Let's bow our heads. God, help us as a church to not lose sight, Lord, of the world around us, from Africa to Asia to the Middle East, to our missionaries serving on the field, to each one of us as we go into Lynchburg this week, to our jobs, to buy groceries, to go to school. Lord, that we would be a radiating witness. Let's take a moment and let us pray. Maybe you know of someone, a family member, a child, one of your own children that maybe have walked away from the Lord. Take a moment. Plead for their soul. Plead that God would break their heart, that God would do whatever He must in their life. Oh God, Lord, help us to be still in your presence, leaning upon you for strength and for wisdom, to know the words to share, to know the life to live, to be a radiant example. And Lord, may you alone be the rock in which we hide. And Lord, as we together give of our offerings right now, Lord, may our offerings be a display of joy and worship for what you've done, for what you are doing. And Lord, we pry out to you, we pray with great expectation and desperation, Lord, that may the cries of the lost not be drowned out by the priorities of our lives. But Lord, may we be willing to go. May we be willing to send. To proclaim the hope that is in Jesus. Help us to be still in your presence. And in Christ's name, amen.
Still, my soul, be still. And do not fear, though winds of change may rage tomorrow, God is at your side. No longer dread the fires of unexpected sorrow, God, you are my God, and I will trust in you and not be shaken. Lord of peace, renew a steadfast spirit within me to rest in you alone. Soul, be still. Do not be moved by lesser lights and fleeting shadows. Hold onto his ways with shield of faith against temptation's flaming arrows. God, you are my God. Trust in you and not be shaken. Lord of peace, renew a steadfast spirit within me to rest. soul be still. Do not forsake the truth you learned in the beginning. Wait upon the Lord, and hope will rise as stars appear when day is dimming. God, you are my God, and I will trust in you and not be shaken. Lord of peace, renew a steadfast spirit within me to rest in you alone. To rest in you.
Jesus, help us to find our rest in you. Our rest, our peace, our satisfaction only in your presence. Lord, may you alone be the vision of our life. May you alone be the pursuit of our hearts. And Lord, help us as a church to establish our vision, our direction, in the footsteps, Lord, for where you lead us. And we ask all these things by the power of your name, Jesus Christ. Amen. If you would stand this morning, let us sing together and let this be our cry. Be thou my vision. Let us sing it.
Be thou my vision, O Lord of my
Amen. Let him be our vision today, tonight, and this week. See you this evening. Have a blessed week.